Blog Talk Radio.
Brother to come and flow in Yah as he is led, and I want to welcome everybody back. We'll give it another minute for other people to show up that may be waiting. I thought I said a couple of minutes, but I think Brother Isaiah heard 15 minutes. Anyway, Sister Mary, you had raised your hand earlier. Was there anything that you wanted to say?
Yes, I just wanted to say shalom to you and happy Sabbath.
All right, amen. Amen. Shalom and happy Sabbath. All right. But if I can have everyone go ahead and remute your phones. And Brother Isaiah, interrupt your flow, but if you will come back, my brother, and go ahead and do you.
Oh, amen, amen, amen. Okay. All right, grace and peace, family. Grace and peace. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. My name is Brother Isaiah, and we're back again. All praises to the Most High. And give me one quick second while I get this started. Give me one second. All right, I'm back. Grace and peace. Grace and peace, family. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching a lesson, and I will be reading for myself as usual on the Sabbath and time to time on Thursdays. Grace and peace, family. Grace and peace. You know, I might as well say what I was going to say earlier, because, you know, it was very necessary. But basically, you know, before getting to the precept, you know, what the Most has been showing me. You know, it was basically what the Most High was showing me was like a self-check, you know, a self-check, you know, and to really buckle down and to get the understanding on how to get the kingdom, you know, and how to get the kingdom, you know, it's not what we're doing now, like per se with the podcast show, because the Lord has blessed us to bring out a lot of things that's very needful for the body. But the same point in time is that, you know, what the Most High showed me is that, you know, we really got to understand what the Most High want us to do, you know, when it comes to righteousness, you know, and to be considered blameless. A lot of it comes from loving your brother, helping those that's in need. And the reason why I say that is because the Lord said that Job was a perfect and upright man. And through Job's adversity, through his pain and anguish, he did a self-check. And he said, Lord, haven't I did this for the poor? Haven't I did that for the poor? Haven't I protected them? Did not even beat up the ones that was oppressing them? You know, was not eyes to the blind? You know, was not feet for the lame? You know, for the cripple? You know, did not do these things? And a couple of scripts over, he said, man, Lord, I did all these things, and if I haven't done it, if I've been selfish to those that was in need, then Lord, cut the whole arm off, even to the bone. And then it take you right back into the conversation, the book of Psalms, chapter 82. You know, the Lord say, I say, yeah, guys, but you're going to die like men. You know, how long are you going to accept the person of the afflicted? I mean, excuse me. How long are you going to accept the person of the wicked and their wicked devices? Say, lie. And then as soon as you go into those scriptures, he tell you, man, defend the poor, the fatherless, help those that's in need, etc. And then the book turned around and said, we know not, neither do we understand. Because when we constantly keep looking, it's like when we constantly keep, like if you watch other people's behavior, and when you watch the things that they do, it's always kind of being in their business, or, well, this is what you guys supposed to be doing. You know, I truly believe that a lot of things we do, it's like we're not doing it to benefit. We're not doing it to, it's like we do it to get approval. And, you know, I'm not all about approval no more. You know, my job is just to teach the word, you know, and to practice it and show other people how to do this thing right. And that righteousness that the Lord has shown me is, man, how you treat people, how you love people. That's what I want up out of you. Of course, we got the dietary laws and the laws and stuff like that. Of course, we do those things. But the same point in time is, this is what he wants. You go back to that conversation with the rich man. The rich man was like, hey, good master, I want everlasting life. What do I need to do? Jesus Christ turned around and told him, man, why is you even calling me good? There ain't nothing good but the Father, right? So that is self, just to show us humility with ourselves and be humble and to be merciful unto other people and patience and stuff like that. Because if the Most High came down in the flesh and he lived this thing with greatness and he didn't call himself good, then what are we? So that means we should be humbling ourselves and not to be so up in anger with other people. And at the same point in time is, Jesus Christ gave him the tools for everlasting life. He said, but if you want everlasting life, then keep the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. You know, don't envy your brother. Don't lie on your brother. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't try to sleep with his spouse. Man, the rich man was like, man, Lord, I've been doing all that. You know, so the rich man be doing all that. But did you catch the conversation that Jesus Christ had? He said, but if you want to be perfect, give to those that's in need. Sell your possessions, I mean, all the possessions you have, give it to those that's in need and follow me. He walked away sorrowful. But before all that, the Lord just gave us two righteous examples on getting the kingdom. Keep the commandments and love your brother. Maybe that's how we can be perfect. Because if you go to the book of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40, the Lord separated sheep from the goats. The sheep got everlasting life because they helped those that was in need and was there for the afflicted. So when I look at things like that, and when the Bible says the righteous are scarcely saved, then that got to be the reason why. So I'll just let you guys know that these are a lot of things that the Lord has showed me, but this is nowhere near what the precept is going to be about. The precept we're going to deal with today is very, very interesting, and it's called the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares. We're going to go into the conversation with the Most High, you know, when Jesus Christ was talking in parables, and, you know, when he was talking about the wheat and the tares. But what caught my attention with this whole thing is that he said, let them grow in together, and I separate them at the harvest. So when he said they're growing in together, the wheat and the tares, then who? That means they together. It's not the ones that's out there. You know, we like to look at the ones that go to church on Sunday or the people who have no interest in God and stuff like that. No. It's all about the ones who is in front of you. Y'all might go to the same congregation. Y'all might be in the same class. Don't mean everybody's straight. Somebody just because somebody called no God, we just think, okay, they're good. They're throwing scriptures up. Okay, they're good. But the Bible said, man, let them grow in together, the wheat and the tares. What is this wheat and tares? It's the righteous and the wicked. But who is this wicked? You think it's just talking about the ones that go to class? You know, you think it's talking about the ones that go to class on Sunday? We think it's talking about the ones that's going out to the strip clubs or just being out here in the streets doing crazy stuff? You think it's talking about that? No. When you read this Bible, it's about the righteous watching the fake and phonies. When you really buckle down and see what the book is talking about. Let all that go in together, and I'll separate them at the time of point. So this precept is going to show who is righteous and who is not. Who plans book or who being fake and phony and who is not. Because when we're looking around, we're looking at all the other places. What we should be looking around is turn your eyes right to left and see if these are the ones growing in together, what the Most High was talking about. So we're going to get right into the precept. I would have did a Psalms, but through the grace of the Most High, the Lord allowed Brother Miles to face us east towards Jerusalem and stuff to pray in. So we have already done that, so there's no need to do it a second time. So what we're going to do is just get into this precept and just see if we can get an understanding on these wheats and tares. You know, it can mean other things too, but you can pull out one thing and bring a precept together. So what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is go into the book of Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be going here again later on in the precept. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. And I will give you guys a second to get there. Excuse me. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 24 through 30. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, without then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. That's why you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So now we all know that this is nothing but a parable, but this is a very interesting parable because it's basically just saying this right here. Let's go to 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So this, who is this enemy that came? This ain't nothing but Satan the devil. So Satan the devil got men too, but it said that they, you know, while, you know, he came and he crept them into the barn. I mean, you know, he came and crept them in with the wheat. So, okay, so this is basically just saying the devil got his own men. He got his own men, and he going to bring them well. He going to bring them in the plantation of the righteous. I bring them up in there. This is what we're going to do. I bring them there. I will bring them in the congregation. I'm going to bring them with the righteous. Why you think that? Come on now. When Jesus Christ was in the flesh, wasn't Judas around him? Couldn't Judas cast out devils right along with the righteous? Wasn't he always with them? Metaphorically speaking, these are tares. So this is why I don't understand why people who's trying to walk this thing right is so upset or so confused when wicked people is around you. That's supposed to be knowing the truth. If you read the book of Matthew 13:24-30, you understand the wheat and the tares. They are already grown in with us. So that always should tell us that just because they know that they call on the truth in God doesn't necessarily mean their strength. But the enemy has brought these tares into the wheat. Somebody need to mute their phone because I hear something tapping in the background, a little bit of moving. Because I'm also recording on my side too. Amen. Thank you. All praises. So now, this is what we have to understand, brothers and sisters. For the ones who's trying to do this thing right, I'm not talking about, I know we all have ups and downs, but the ones who's trying to fight to get this thing right, you should not be shocked when a certain people act a certain way who's supposed to know the truth, because they always grow in. They are the tares. They grew in. So some people be like, I can't believe this brother did this. Well, I can't believe this sister did that. They did all of this. They supposed to be in the truth. You dang on right, they supposed to do it. Because the book always telling us they grow in together with them. They supposed to be like that. So this book is teaching us and showing us how to watch the righteous from the wicked. Not the ones out there in the streets, but the ones who's pretending. Because the devil has sent them in anyway. So we have the wheat. The tares came right on in. Let's get an understanding on this whole conversation. Let's go into the book of Jude chapter 1. Well, it's only one chapter. The book of Jude 1. It's going to tell us in plain sight right here for us. And if you have your apocrypha, then get your apocrypha out because we're going to grab one script about it or two after this one. The book of Jude 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 4, put a comma, then 10 through 12. The book of Jude 1 and 3. Let's get an understanding on these wheat and tares and how they grew in together. The devil sent them, right? The devil sent them to come in. And they grew in with the wheat. The wheat grew in with the tares. So we understand that. Let's see it in plain 3D sight.
the book of Jude 1 and 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Right? So if it said diligence, that means carefully or zeal. So when Jude was writing this, he must have seen something that caught his eye, and he wants the righteous to understand something. What do Jude want us to understand? Let's read verse 4 and find out. For there are certain men crept in unawares. It's not just like how the wheat and the tares was. Didn't the enemy throw the tares in with the wheat? And I've been reading here in verse 4, it said that there are certain men which crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we understand here is that certain men crept in unawares. So when the righteous came together, we had a couple of wicked people who decided to come in too. But we already know that the devil sent them in to try to mess something up. So when we see certain behaviors and how people act and behave, then it shouldn't be, we shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, they did this. We shouldn't be like that, because the only thing we're supposed to be saying is that, okay, that's what the book was talking about. That might be a tear trying to mess something up. Because the only way to discern yourself on who is righteous and who is not is by the fruits of the Spirit, not on your knowledge. You can have massive blaze and knowledge all day and night and be wicked. Come on, the devil no more but than us. So knowledge isn't the answer. Because you mean to tell me I can go and read the book of Matthew 25, verses 30 through 30, 31 through 40, and you mean to tell me the Lord is giving out everlasting names and crowns and salvation just because somebody took their shirt off and gave it to somebody that needed it? So much for righteousness. I mean, so much for knowledge. You mean to tell me that these people got everlasting life just because they went and visited somebody in the prison house? You mean to tell me Job was righteous because he was eyes to the blind? You mean to tell me Job was righteous because he was lame to the feet? You mean to tell me that these small things we look over is what's getting people into the kingdom? I'm tired of all of this super, well, we're doing this, you're doing that. No, man, I'm just going to do what the Most I put in my heart, and I'm going to try to be the best man I can be and love and to strengthen those that need it. I'm on that, because I'm sitting here looking at righteousness, and these people getting everlasting life. And the Bible says that God is God, he changes not. So if he's giving these people thrones and everlasting life because of these things, then why wouldn't he give me one if I'm doing it? And trying to be sincere and truth and stuff like that, like the Most High. If they're doing these things, why wouldn't he give us one? I'm not all about being inside other people's business and what they're doing anymore. My whole focus is on what can Isaiah do to keep himself out the fire, how to stay away from my flesh through the best way I can, and how do I treat people? Am I talking down on people? Am I revealing people's secrets? You know, am I doing these things? But to show the brothers and sisters, the only way the only way to understand who is righteous and who is not is simply by the fruits of the Spirit. You can know books all day and night and can't get nobody $10. You might know all types of scriptures and all manner of things, and you don't see now one fruit of the Spirit. You don't see no love. You don't see no diligence. You don't see no meekness. You don't see no temperance. You don't see no long suffering. You don't see no charity. But all you see is massive knowledge and boasting. Come on, now the Pharisees did that. So we're going to keep breaking this thing down, and so we can understand about these wheats and tares and how to
to know what, who and what it is. So I'm going to read verse 4 again. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's get down to verse 10. For these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Oh, so now we're talking about Korah, even though it's spelled different here, but it's talking about the same person. Because the other Korah was with a K, but this one is talking about, this one got a C. It do that sometimes. So if it's talking about the gainsaying of Korah, then all we got to do is go into the book of Numbers 16 and find out what Korah did. And you will see nothing but wicked and devilish acts from Korah. Because remember, you might think it's a right thing what Korah did, but actually it wasn't. Korah spoke bad on Moses and Aaron to the princes. Korah gathered up the rest of the congregation to go against Moses and Aaron. You would have thought he would have just been upset, just need to cool down a little bit. But what did the Lord tell Moses? Man, you tell that congregation, man, to step away from these wicked men. But hey, Korah is what? A part of that tear that grew in with the righteous. You see what tear is able to do. The 200 princes probably had nothing against Moses. But after Korah got done with him, they all mad at him. Israel was probably killed that day. They probably had nothing against Moses that day. They probably bellies all big and stuff. They cool. But now not after Korah finished talking to him. Because after the Lord destroyed him, now the whole congregation wanted to try to kill Moses now. So when the enemy brought these tares in with the wheat, he just didn't do it just to mess up the barn or the yard. No. He did it because as long as his men is around and we're not able to identify them, they can do massive damage. Massive damage. As a matter of fact, let's go there right now. We're going to go into 2 Ezra probably after this one, because I kind of skipped over that one because I wanted to get to Jude. But right now, we're talking about these tares. We're talking about how they crept in unawares. And we see that the books are even talked about Korah. So what we're going to do is take a quick stop in the book of Numbers chapter 16. The book of Numbers chapter 16. The book of Numbers 16. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 1. We're not going to read all of this. We're just going to read verses 1 through 11. Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliad, On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assemblies, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom we have chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take his censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth chose, he shall be holy. Yea, ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seeing is it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel have separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? Cause both thou and all the company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Now, what is we learning here about these tares that crept in? Because I'm letting you know right now, just because you wearing fringes and you know you keep laws of Moses, you're honoring the dietary law, you're keeping feast days, doesn't mean you're righteous, brothers and sisters. That don't mean nothing. If your fruits of the Spirit is demolished. Now, this is Korah, the princes, and all of them, right? They doing the laws, right? You know, they keeping the dietary law. They doing the Sabbath day. They grabbing their double portion on the Sabbath day, you know. So that Friday, so they got to go out there and do it on the Sabbath day. They resting on the Sabbath day. They doing all those things. But was that enough for him not to get slaughtered with the 200 princes? Was that enough for him to be just righteous? No. Because they don't honor, and the Lord called them wicked. You mean to tell me God will still call you wicked, even though you're doing the dietary laws, you're doing the feast days, you know? You remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy? You know, you're doing the laws and molds and stuff like that, or even if you're wearing fringes. You mean to tell me you can still get sliced, you can get tossed, spread, and lick a fire, even though you're still doing all those things? Absolutely. Because that's not enough for the kingdom. We got to see fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit is the only way to determine who is wicked and who is righteous. I don't care if you've been. I don't care if you've been attending Sabbath day on time every single day. Don't mean nothing. I don't care if you kept every feast day. I don't care if you perfected Passover. You still going to the fire if you ain't got no fruits of the Spirit. And this is the deception. The deception is believing that you're doing these things that you got the kingdom. No. If you have no fruits of the Spirit, you have no kingdom. You have nothing coming. But this is why the Most High showed it to me to put the precept this way, the wheats and the tares, because they all mingle in together. They mingle with the righteous. So if they mingling in with the righteous, is these tares in the world doing whatever? No. They doing all their foolishness in the classes. They doing all their foolishness around the righteous. But the parable told us what? The parable told us that the enemy has done this. That means the devil has his minions who know book two. Just let that mingle in for a little bit. Now let us go into the now. If you have your Apophica, let's go into the book of 2 Ezra. The book of 2 Ezra. Chapter 14, verses 42 through 45. 2 Ezra 14, 42-45. The highest gave understanding unto the five men, and they wrote the wonderful visions of the night that were told, which they knew not. And they set 40 days, and they wrote in the day and night, and at that night they ate bread. As for me, I spake in the day, and I held not my tongue by night. In 40 days they wrote 204 books. And it came to pass, when the 40 days were filled, that the highest spake, saying, the first that thou hast written published openly, that the worthy and unworthy may read it. But keep the 70 last, that thou mayest deliver them only to such as be wise among the people. For in them is the spring of understanding, the foundation of wisdom, and the spring of knowledge. And I did so. Now, what really caught my attention with this is that it's also, we also dealing with wheats and tares here. Because in verse 45 it says, and it came to pass, when the 40 days were filled, that the highest spake, saying, the first that thou hast written, published openly, that the worthy and unworthy may read it. So we have a portion of the books that is given to the worthy and unworthy, the ones who's going to take this thing seriously and the ones who probably won't care too much about it. And if you don't care too much about it, then what that means? You're not going to take it seriously. That's all that means. It's that you're not going to take it seriously, just like the tares. They're not here to take it seriously. Because I was, I think this was last week, this pretty good, this brother I know was talking about who goes straighten the elders out. And he was on fire with it. Who goes straighten the elders out? Because remember, when you talk, you got to be taught again. And you need a counselor. You need somebody to talk to. Right? And how the brother was coming there saying, man, he was like, man, you got elders, man, in the classes, man. A brother got a pretty good looking wife. He all up in her face. You know? And when the brother tell him, man, hey, that's my wife, he was like, man, the pastor was like, man, who is you? Like, what? A brother gave $700 to the classes. $700. And you try to go and get a loan from the classes that make about $250,000 every Sabbath, can't get you a couple of dollars to pay your rent. But we so shocked. Why are we shocked? Have we ever considered maybe this is what the Lord is talking about in the book of Matthew, the wheat and the tares? Have we? Because we already read the book of Jude. It said that certain men crept in unawares. But the enemy is the devil. Right? So we should have a better understanding in our time frame, in our generation, on how things is going to go down. Because how this Bible is written up, man, you know, it said that the brethren is going to sell us out. Tears right there. Because somebody's going to bring some of us to the governors and kings of this world. Just like they did Jesus, just like they did Stephen. You think there's people out there on the streets? No, the book said, brethren, the ones who's close to you, wheat and tare, grow in together. But the Lord is going to separate them at the harvest. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 10. The book of Matthew chapter 10. The book of Matthew chapter 10. What we're going to do is pick this up at verse 17 and 18. Matthew 10. Verses 17 and 18. 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to their councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Right? So now we got to understand this thing right here. Even though it didn't say brethren's here, Luke wrote the exact same thing. And how Luke wrote it, it seems it's more in place and in order of how he was talking. But who do you think these men are that's going to take you up to these councils? You think it's going to be the street guy? No. No. Let's go to the book of John 18. The book of John 18. John 18, we're going to read 1 through 5 and 8. Because after this verse, I'm going to show you that it is the brethren. But before we get there, we're going to see a full 3D view of it being the brethren. And then I'm going to prove it in the next script. Because it just told us that we're going to be, in Matthew 10, 17 through 18, it said that we're going to be brought before governors and kings, right? Let's check it out. John 18, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers and the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with litaners and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Who do you think will be bringing this before the counselors? Who do you think is going to be bringing us to these kings around this time appointed? The ones who know book. The ones who got the same understanding as you. Weeds and tares growing in together. Men crept in unawares. Worthy and unworthy. Just skip down to verse 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Right? So I just want to show you just a little small view of that certain situation to show you that these counselors and governors and stuff like that are the ones you might be close to. It might be the ones in your classes. It might be your clique. Some might be righteous, some might be wicked. So we have to be aware of this thing and watch out. Now, let's just show you that this is the brethren. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 5. and we're going to read verses 5-17. It's because this is the conversation that was in Matthew 24, you know, when it was talking about the temple being all nice and stuff, and Lord was like, "See, not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down." This is the same conversation, but the reason why I like Luke so much is because we're going to understand that Luke is more in order. Off of a verse we're going to read here in a second. And it gives us a better understanding on the end times that something has to happen before that happens. Let us go into the book of Luke, chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 5-17. Verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and rumors, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotion, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Right? So this is just basically just the same conversation that's in the book of Matthew 24. But verse 12 is the reason why I said it's more in place. Let's read verse 12. But before all these, what? Everything we just read from above. About pestilence, earthquakes, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So before these happen, something got to happen first. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Did Jesus Christ just give us the first sign of the end times? By simply saying, but before all these? So why are we looking at all these pestilence and earthquakes and all this other kind of stuff? The book is showing us what's going to happen first. And we see what Judas did to Jesus. We already know what the people did to Stephen and other saints and stuff like that in the Bible. We already see that happening. So we should have an understanding how it's going to play in our time. Verse 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren. What is this brethren? You think this brethren is just talking about your blood brother? No. This brethren is talking about brethren, the brothers, the ones, the ones who are supposed to know the truth, that are supposed to be on the same thing that you know. They ain't talking about no family members. Jesus and the 12 disciples, they were all brethren. But didn't Jesus get ratted out and took to the councils to be beat, killed, and all this other stuff? Didn't that happen? 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Oh. But the book just said some of us will get betrayed. Some of our parents, we got that in there. Brethren and kinfolks, friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. I understand that that's more, we can see a world type thing that happened. But the same point of time is we still have brethren in there. And that brethren is not talking about just, you know, that blood brother. No, that's talking about the ones you're clicking with, the ones you might be going to class with. It's talking about that. And you seen it happen to Jesus when it came to Judas. Betrayed him with a kiss. Just put something on your mind. Got me thinking right here for a second. But simply just looking at this conversation, brothers and sisters, on these type of acts and behaviors, we should learn, we should know and understand something. We should know and understand something really quick now. Let's see what we should understand now. Let us go into the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter chapter 4, verse 18. This is what we should understand now. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations. Oops, I'm in the wrong spot. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 4, 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And that's just mind-boggling. So the righteous, I truly believe, man, that it got to be, you know, lacking in fruits of the Spirit. It's because fruits of the Spirit is what we see people getting everlasting life from. And God called Job perfect, and that's what he did. But this is why we're not really being saved. Well, this is why the righteous are scarcely saved. So what do we understand, brothers and sisters, about this conversation? And stop looking at people that go to church on these, stop looking at these street people and these people that's supposed to be, these people that's supposed to be walking in truth and find out that they're not. You know, it shouldn't bother us that much. For some fact is that the book told us that the wheat grew in with tares. And the Lord even told us the enemy done this. And if you keep reading that script, it'll let you know that it'll break down the whole parable. It'll break down the entire parable. So, let's look at some of the righteous fruits. Because now, man, well, we don't say righteous fruit. We call them weeds. Let's look at some weeds. Since we're the weeds, right? Since we're the weeds, let's take our time and take this thing out. Let's look at some weeds conversation. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And what we're going to do is read verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So in order to know who really is, so even if they're talking good books, they got massive knowledge, they got master wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And if you can see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, hey, you blessed to have a good brother around you. Because he fruits of the Spirit, you know, the wicked can only pretend it for so long. But a person who really strives for this, you will see it all the time. Not saying they might have their ups and downs and stuff. I mean, of course, we all have our ups and downs, but we should really be able to see it. This is the wheat, the ones that have these fruits of the Spirit. These are the ones that the Lord planted in the ground when he came to the wheat. But the devil came through with his wicked spirit and his followers and came and tried to mess things up. So people that have a good spirit like this, you know, they might not, it's kind of hard, how can I put it? You know, in a nice way, well, not too much in a nice way, but just, you know. It put a righteous man in a hard position when you around tares. Because if the tares is ruling the congregation or the whatever, it'd be kind of hard for the righteous man to step in that spot, because ain't no telling how many people the tares have transformed into tares themselves. But this is what we need to look out for, and these are the fruits of the Spirit that God wants us to have on us. Now let's go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 21 through 23, and I have one more after this. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 3. No. Excuse me, no. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 6. And then we'll skip down to 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mystery and all knowledge. And though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, or if not behave itself unseemly, thinketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Right? So this is charity. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Amen. Now let's skip down to 13. And now about of faith, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, do you know how strong faith got to be up the food chain? Do we know how strong hope got to be up the food chain? You mean tell me just by loving somebody is even more powerful than those two? You say the greatest of these three is charity. You mean tell me showing love to people is greater than faith? Taking your shirt off and giving it to somebody in need, and to help those that's in need and be a loving brother and help a hand is more greater than hope? You mean to tell me being eyes to the blind is far greater than faith? You mean to tell me being legs to the lame is far greater than hope? Wow. Now let's go into the last spot of this precept, and we're done for today. Let's go in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And then we're going to break this thing down in a way that I've never broken down before. I'll place the Most High on that. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read 21 through 23, and then I'm going to break it down. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
And in thy name I've cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then shall I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Right? Now let's break this thing down.
This is very interesting. It's because, for one, the Lord never said that they were lying. So, what they're talking about, they did. But what really caught my attention is that you mean to tell me that God will allow you to prophesy in his name? God will allow you to cast out devils? And God will allow you to do wonderful works and still not make the kingdom? It should take us back to that conversation when it came to Judas. Because wasn't Judas with them casting stuff out, casting demons out? And he was a thief. He didn't care nothing about fighting for any of that stuff. He didn't care for that. But he was a tear mingled in with the weeds. He learned of it. He learned how to do it. But he was still wicked. So you can prophesy in his name. You can be teaching all good book and still be a tear. Because what did the parable say? The Lord said, I'm going to separate them at the harvest. So they might be in class for 50, 60 some years teaching all type of stuff and still find themselves on the short end of the stick because the Lord's going to separate them at the harvest, at the kingdom, at the resurrection. Then he's going to separate them. And you'll know who's been real and who's been fake. And you mean to tell me that because the tares was amongst the righteous, they was also casting out devils? You mean to tell me God allow you to cast out a devil and you can still be a tear, you can still be wicked? Why? Because of the parable. I separate them at the harvest. So you could be doing all these things. You think you'd be doing all this righteousness. You think you'd be doing all this stuff and still find yourself short. And the reason why is because I believe because of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what I believe. To put something on y'all minds. So when you see people act and behave in a certain manner or a certain way, don't be all uptight and upset and heartbroken when you see this. It's because the Lord has already showed us that this is what they do. The Apocrypha told us that a portion of the Bible was given to the worthy and unworthy. The book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 4, said that certain men crept in unawares. We just read the wheat and the tares. The enemy planted them, and the tares grew in with the wheat. We read Korah, what Korah did. He was a part of the tares, and he messed up the 200 princesses and the whole congregation of Israel. So why are we so shocked when we see it in our time frame? Don't be shocked. Thank God you're able to see it so you can help yourself and learn not to do what they did. So through the grace of God, I hope y'all got some understanding on this weed and tear. And through the grace of God, we might have a part two of this coming up. Who knows? But through the grace of God, I hope y'all got some understanding of this precept. The name of the precept is called Weed and Tares. And I thank y'all for y'all time.
All right. Amen, my brother. Amen. All right. Amen. 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 I wanted to add something to this, my brother. I hate to pile on top. Excellent precept, number one. Number two, the overriding theme that I got out of this, you kept repeating the fruits of the spirit. And so the only thing I want to add to this for everybody that's listening is, remember that the fruits of the Spirit have to come from the Spirit. That means that you have to have the Spirit. You can't be trying to do it of your own self. You can't be of your own works. So I'm going to be a good person and I'm going to do these things but you never received the Spirit. You never were baptized in the Spirit of the Most High. So we got to understand that, you know, I keep reiterating this. And, you know, the brother's bringing it back on the other end. The fruit of the Spirit comes from being baptized in the Spirit of the Most High. That's where that fruit comes from. And so it's genuinely from him. So when we're dealing with people in the world, and we're dealing with people in the camps, in the churches, a lot of what you said remind me of what I call the spirit of Esau. Just don't have no care, really, for the work of the Most High, for the people of the Most High. And they're among the people. They're among us. So we have to have, you know, be wanting to take care of and genuine love for one another, but also to take care of the poor, the fatherless, the widow, the homeless. These things can't be reiterated enough. This is what the Most High says is true religion. He's looking out for those that are down in our society, not those that are up and making it. But he wants us to take care of those that are truly in need. And when we see our brother or our sister in need, that we don't say, well, bless you, but that we genuinely try to meet their need. If at all possible, if it's within us, this is something we have to do. Or else we ourselves would be considered, as he said, we're in the body, we are among the saints, but we don't do things that the scriptures tell us to do. We don't produce fruit. We are a tear. That's the difference between the two. A tear doesn't produce fruit. They're there. They could be teachers. They could be pastors. They could be altar workers. They could be just in the pulpit or in the crowd, but they don't produce. So anytime that something comes up, they're not trying to help anybody out. They are there to be seen. They're there to try to influence. And one thing that you said, that they are there to make other tares. That's why I say you have to renew yourself. You have to reprogram yourself. We got to be transformed by the word of Yah. So you could be a tear if you allow yourself to be transformed. You can be transformed by the word of Yah into wheat. But if you don't allow that, and you are a tear, and you know you're a tear, you're gonna remain a tear. The word of Yah reprograms us. It changes us. It transforms us. And so we have to allow it to do that. So, but that all starts with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to submit yourself to the Spirit of Yah. You have to allow this. He's not going to just come and take over. You have to allow it. You have to seek it. And you don't want to be good in and of yourself. You know, just boasting on your own works. Well, I do this and I do that. I think I'll just be a little bit meeker about it. No, you need to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. I mean, it just cannot be reiterated enough. It is paramount to your salvation and to your walk. So, excellent precept, my brother. I open it up to anybody else that has anything to add to this. Go ahead and press the number one so we can do it in order. Press the number one if you have something to say. You want to add something.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, everybody's unmuted. Let me mute you, and then if you have something to say, press the number one, and I will unmute.
Mary. But don't mute Sister Mary's line, because I'm with Sister Mary.
All right, go ahead and proceed. Sister Mary.
Okay, amen. Okay, I want Sister Mary to give I want her to state her findings first, and then I wanted to read something. I was like, oh, you're just shaking. My hair stood up on my arm. But Sister Mary, can you please tell Brother Isaiah and Brother Miles in the congregation?
I just found another name for tares. Guess what another name for tares is? Does anybody know?
What is it?
There's another name for tares. Does anybody know what that other name is?
Spill of beans. What is it?
Wait, away, Brother Isaiah. I was like, really? Tell me what the name is. Oh, okay, she wants me to tell you. Another name for tares is actually called Darnell. Darnell.
Darnell.
That's another name for tares, yes. And you know a lot of men out there.
It's a species of rare grass. It's poisonous.
It's rare. But it's like a lookalike for tares, but it actually is it's a type of a poisonous grass. But this is what I look. If you read Matthew 13:24-29, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to read Matthew 13:24-29 if I could really quick one more time. Is that okay?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to make sure it was okay. So Matthew 13:24 reads, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, least while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Amen. So it says here that the bad seeds grow to become poisonous weeds that allow only the healthiest of the wheat to survive. Tares, like weeds, have never been a marketable product. So tares are actually called darnel, a seed hardly infatigable from the wheat seed, an immature wheat, and darnel look-alike. To try to destroy the darnel would mean destroying much of the wheat, and separating one from the other would be beyond the servant's ability. Only when the wheat has matured can the tares be detected. Then the tares are gathered together in bundles, sealed, and destroyed by the fire. Sweet. Sister Mary.
Amen.
That means that since we are in this world and we elevate, we're loosening ourselves from the tares. We're elevating.
Yes,
amen.
I love this
message.
Yes,
amen.
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 I love the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. After you become strong, so you're not choked out by the tears. Amen. I think there was something else in that verse, too. I think Messiah said, who's going to be gathered first? The saints, the wheat, or the tares?
Only part I caught was that he said that he is separated from the harvest. I don't know after that.
Yeah. If we go back there, there's another key word there, something that we can look forward to, because, you know, you got a lot of people trying to get out of here, okay? But if you read that verse, he tells you, that's 13, right? Chapter 13? It's where you were at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Let's go down here. Where did you start reading that in there?
I started at, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24-30.
Okay. Go to read Matthew chapter 13, verse 30.
Isaiah, you got it?
Yeah, I'm getting it right now. I was so lazy, I went to stroll over in my bed. I'm just rolled back up. I got it now. Matthew 13. 13 and 30. Yeah, I got it right here. Okay. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in a time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares.
Who's
and bind them
first?
In bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the wicked is going
first. What do you gather first?
The tares, the wicked. The enemy, the wicked.
So we got to understand that there's an order to this as well. You know, people think that the saints are going to be the ones taken out first. Taken out, period. But he's not going to take out the saints first. He's going to take out who?
The wicked.
The tares.
Get them out the way first.
So we understand that there is even an order to the gathering of the righteous. The ones who get gathered first ain't the righteous. It's the tares.
Mm-hmm.
Pull them up. And then the wheat that is left, then they're going to gather the saints. Will be left over to be gathered into the barn, into the kingdom. So when you're looking for the rapture may not be what you think it is. First ones taken out of here are going to be the tares. The kingdom, the righteous are going to be left in the kingdom. But anyway, that's just another observation that we might want to look at. The tares are going to be among us. And they are, as far as I can see from the scriptures, they try to poison the harvest. They always have argument, you know, just like you went back to Korah, and that was an excellent place to go, because the Korah, they're trying to come against the establishment of the Most High. They want what was not given to them. And I even was something that we had been talking about during our weekly studies. And I think I left that verse. When I think you went back, did you go back to Numbers? I'll just say it here. Korah them, what Moses said to Korah them was, do you esteem the office of the Levite so little? And we've been talking about this, how we have to esteem what the Most High has given to us and who we are. So Moses said, hey, do you take this thing that the Most High has done with you and made you his priesthood so lightly, not really caring about it? That's that same spirit. The same spirit that's on Esau, didn't really care for his birthright, the priesthood. That's a priest, but don't really care for being a priest. Don't care for what it means. Those saints that are in the pews, who don't really care for what the Most High is doing for us. They don't esteem it high enough. So we have to understand that we have to want this, genuinely want it, and genuinely do the things that the Most High says to do. Not just talk about it, not just fiend that we love one another, but that it has to be genuine love. And that's what he's going to look at. So as you said, it doesn't matter if you're wearing teat seats. It doesn't matter whether you look good on the outside. Messiah said, you are whited sepulchers. That means you're attuned, but you look good on the outside, clean, dressed up. You playing the part. But on the inside, you're dead. So we definitely don't want to go down that road. We don't want to be that. And we want to, you know, I say this to everybody who is listening. If you know you're not doing these things, if you feel like it's not in your heart, you have a problem holding out your hand to people to give to them because you feel like, oh, well, maybe we might use the excuse, well, what did they do to get in that condition? We might use the excuse, well, I'm not helping you. Whatever the case may be, the Most High said, don't close your hand to the poor. Don't do it. If we got a problem doing that and we don't have genuine love one toward another, especially our brethren who are around us, which you showed really well that, hey, those are the ones that are really going to be the ones that come against the weak. They're the ones that, don't really want to see anything prosper. They got reasons. They are doing things on the back end. They're backbiting people. They're talking about them behind their backs. They're trying to convince them that, hey, all these things that they're doing, it ain't about all that. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to be holy. Yeah, we got to be both. And it's got to be genuine from our hearts. So I'm just saying to you, my brother, the way you brought it, it was excellent, and it should show us that, hey, the issue is from within. People who are in amongst the wheat, pretending to be wheat. But again, I say to you, look at if you want to know the difference, look and see if they're bearing fruit from the Holy Spirit. From the Spirit of the Most High. Shouldn't be fighting these things. With that, is there anyone else that wants to add any comment to this conversation? Just press the number one, and I will open your phone. All right.
Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Keith.
Shabbat. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Brother Miles. Shabbat Shalom. Brother Isaiah,
whatever,
grace
brother.
And peace to the family. It was an excellent lesson. You know, I got a lot out of it. I realize the Lord won't put us through anything that we can't handle. You know, but, you know, always to sit and wait upon the Lord and receive his instruction. What you were mentioning earlier was on point. Brother Isaiah, in Matthew 13:25-27, he gave a description of it. What was also in there, it said darnel, and it said the Arabic thorn, the bearded darnel, which is found as a weed among corn crops in Britain. It is a grass almost undistinguishable from wheat, while the two are in blade and bears poisonous grains. So, you know, I look at that like, you know, I want to be sifted from the tares as well. And I'll be done with this. In 2 Samuel 13:31, if y'all go there real quick. It talks about it right there. It's 2 Samuel 13:31. And it reads, "Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent." It sounds like that's two different type of people right there. But it was an excellent lesson, brother. You know what I'm saying? Good reading. Grace and peace to the family. Much love. And with that, I close.
All right. Amen. All right, Brother Isaiah. Any closing words, my brother?
No, that's it.
Closing.
That's it.
All right. Once again, we want to thank the Most High for this lesson. We want to take it to heart. Look within. Look within your own self. It is most important, critical. Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Make sure that your fruit is not of your own tree, because Messiah said he is the root. We are the vines. The root of your gift has to come from the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of the Most High. We don't want to enter into this halfway. We don't want to get baptized in the water and not get baptized by the Spirit. so that you can have the genuine fruit of the Spirit, and you won't fail in your giving. You won't have a heavy heart, but you will be able to do it with love and kindness, long suffering. So we want to be genuine. So if you have not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, again, I say, do what Messiah told his disciples. Tarry and pray. Ask the Father for his Spirit with evidence so that you know. Not that you think, not that you believe, because what happens in this book is real. And it will happen for you exactly as it is written, if you seek it genuinely with everything that you have. Most God wants to know that you want him. So the fruits of the Spirit, that's how you're going to tell a wheat from a tare. And you have to have the Spirit of the Most High. You cannot do it on your own. Trust me, it'll show up. If you don't have the Spirit of the Most High, trust me, it will show up sooner or later. Something's going to show up, come out of you, and be like, oops, I told on myself. So we want this to be genuine. I want to say once again, great, great precept, my brother.
Amen.
You have a way of bringing it simple, laying it out. We want people to transform by the word of Yah. If you are just like they do gene splicing today, and they splice in the gene of another plant, and it changes the nature of that plant, you can splice in the word of God into your spirit, and it will change you. If you're a tear, it will change you. It will transform you. It is imperative. You know, you don't have to stay a tear if you're a tear. If you're weak, then you want to be well-rooted in the word. And you want to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, that we bring souls into the kingdom, that we attract them to the kingdom. So we want to make sure that we're doing this. This is not something that, you know, you play with. It's that serious. On this evening, we're going to be continuing in the Messianic life. We're still on discipleship. And so we will carry on in that vein. In discipleship. I pray that you all return this evening, and we'll continue in this walk. We want to make sure that, as I said, the Most High is the one who changes people. He is the one that can convert a tear into wheat. And so if we have that nature, we know it, and we want to make sure that we're able to identify it. For those who are the Most High is going to send into ministry, male and female. All right, with that being said, let us bow our heads and pray before we dismiss. Father Yah, we thank you for the word which you have provided today. Let each and every person, let each one of us reflect on ourselves, whether we be wheat or whether we be a tear. Father, we want to serve you, and we want to be genuinely your children. We want to be found in the harvest. We want to attract men to you, Father, not to us, but to you. Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, this evening, or this morning, encamp your angels around your people, Father. Keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we come again at the appointed time. Shalom.
Yahuwah, you live forever. what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I want to do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about